Why are we so resistant to change? What if we could look at change as nothing more than entering a new stage or a new season? My name is Dawn Culp. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, meditation coach, and owner of The Zen Room in Gilroy, California. You can also find us online at www.thezenroom.net. And today we're going to be talking about the winds of change. Hi everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Zen Room. So today we are going to be having a conversation around change. And what's interesting is we are creatures of habit living in a world where there is nothing but change. So it's sort of like, how do we survive this madness? So we know that we're creatures of habit. It's a pretty primitive animal, instinctually led byproduct of us being us. And a lot of people could say, yes, there's a time and place for us to be creatures of habit. You know, we don't need to relearn how to tie our shoe every day. We can be daydreaming about the movie that we're going to see later tonight while tying our shoe, because we don't need to have all of our focus on doing it correctly. It's become automatic, and we are creatures of habit because chances are, if you were to really pay attention, chances are you put your same shoe on first every day. If you are curious how much of a creature of habit you are, ask yourself, how would I feel breaking my routine? When you put on your pants in the morning, ask yourself, which leg do I normally want to lift up first to put in the pant, and then try to do the other one first and see how awkward it might feel. Chances are it's going to feel pretty strange. Try doing this at yoga. If you have a tendency to be laying in Savasana and you always roll to your right side to get up, try rolling to your left side to get up. See how awkward it feels. You will find, after testing yourself in a few very simple ways, how much of a creature of habit you actually are. Do you always come in and set your purse down or your keys down or your whatever's down in the same spot every day? Do you sequence certain activities together, and therefore every time you come in, the first thing that you do is put your keys in the dish on the kitchen table, and then maybe you kick off your shoes second, and then maybe you put your purse down three, and then maybe the fourth thing that you do is go to the bathroom when you walk in the house? Is that your routine? Is that your sequence of events? You'll find out really quickly if you try to do one of those things out of order, and you'll go, oh, that just feels weird. I just kind of feel off. We are creatures of habit, and partly because it's those routines that make us feel like we have structure. Again, all you'd have to do is to test the theory is try doing a few things out of order or doing a few things instead of, and you might feel like, whoa, that's sort of strange. So what happens is we have gotten very, very accustomed to a certain routine in our life. Tuesday night is golf night, or Tuesday night is card night, or Tuesday night is girl night, or Tuesday night is taco night, or whatever, you know. And that gives us some sort of structure, and that structure feels like a life to us. So what happens is, as much as we try to have a routine, as much as we try to have some structure, life and the very nature of life and the very nature of evolution tells us that change is inevitable. It's always happening. All you have to do is look out your window to see that we are in a season right now, that we are experiencing either being smack dab in the middle of a season, or transitioning from one season to another, or right now, as I am recording this podcast, it is very early October. And for the first time in a very long time, I found myself reaching for warmer clothes. it's a little chilly in the air. There's a little bit of a coolness, a crisp morning air. And there's clouds in the sky. I can see a little bit of blue, but we are clearly entering autumn. We are clearly entering a new season. And I personally love autumn, and I enjoy watching the leaves change, and I enjoy all of the things that autumn brings. And then, of course, the creatures of habit in us, we are already reaching for those structures within the change, which is pumpkin spice everything. You go to Starbucks or Pete's Coffee or wherever, and you get pumpkin spice this and pumpkin spice that. And we're already reaching for the comforts of structure within the change, because comfort and structure makes us feel safe. It makes us feel like we're right where we need to be. It is October and I'm supposed to have pumpkins on my toenails. It is October and I'm supposed to see candy being offered in every grocery store that I walk into because it's that time of year. So what's interesting is the seasons are changing. The moon in the sky always looks different. It's either waxing or waning, full, new, no moon, right? As a woman, I can tell you that cyclically, I am in a new phase every 28 days, or every day I'm waxing or every day I'm waning, right? Just like the moon. Every day has a cycle. The sun goes up, the sun goes down. The moon comes up, the moon goes down, right? So we are always living in a time of change. We are always living where things are not certain. So it's interesting that we have this need to put as much structure or habitual routines within this ever-changing world that we are in. But what happens is we tend to, as a society, get very, very uncomfortable when the change gets to be too much. So I have been, anybody that's been listening to this podcast can probably guess my age by now. I am old enough to remember a time when there was no internet, when there was no social media, when there was no smartphone, and when there was no cell phone. Okay. I'm starting to remind myself of my parents. I used to walk in the snow to school. You don't understand my time. It's funny because those are all things that I remember life without all of that stuff, which is pretty cool. But I remember the emergence of Facebook and going, well, this is a whole new world. This is so interesting. And then, you know, people kind of got on there and they were filling up their friends and they were filling up their profile and they didn't have a news feed at that point. It was a wall. And we were still trying to figure out who could see what and what if I share this there, who can see what? And it was a whole new world. We were all trying to navigate it. And then I remember Facebook had the audacity to make a change. A change to how their interface looked to its users. And in that moment, I realized how fragile we are with change because I watched people lose their minds right? On Facebook. Facebook, why can't you just leave it alone? Why can't you just leave it exactly as it is? Stop changing buttons. You know, go back to calling it a wall. I hate the fact that you call it a news feed. Facebook, why are you always changing? Why can't you just leave well enough alone? And people were getting very irritated. They were having a hard time navigating the new stuff. They were having a hard time navigating the new structure. And they were making their disdain or their discomfort known publicly on their, at that time, I guess it was their wall. Facebook, stop messing with my Facebook. And I feel that there's a lot of people that feel that way about life. Right? They start cruising, things are feeling pretty structured and okay, and then something happens, and here comes a change, and we want to shout out to the world, stop changing, why can't you just leave it the way it is? So when it comes to change, we tend as a society to be very, very resistant to it, big or small, button on Facebook, people don't like it. Big, huge change in job or relationship or finances, people don't like it. So, but in those moments, the reason that I'm doing this podcast is because we all need to be very, very clear about something. Change is never going to stop. We are never, ever, ever going to have an eternal summer. Summer is always going to give way to autumn, and autumn is always going to give way to winter. Even milk, right, has a shelf life. There is a cyclical shelf life or a season for milk. It comes out of the cow. It is born, if you want to think of it that in that way. It is born. It is springtime milk in a bottle, fresh out of the cow, beautiful milk. It is brand new. And anybody that drinks milk knows that milk will be good for a while. And then milk will eventually have its own winter. Milk will eventually reach the end of its own shelf life, and milk will completely change in form and shape to the point where you would not put it on your cereal. So yes, milk has its own spring, milk has its own summer, milk has its own fall, and milk has its own winter. And if you try to drink milk past its winter, you will be very sorry. It will not taste good at all. And it might even make you a little sick. So if milk has its own cycle, human beings have their own cycle. Let's face it, people have a cycle. We are born, we have our spring, we have our summer, we have our autumn, we have our winter. And depending on your belief system, some people say, well, then you come back and you have a new spring and a new summer and a new... I'm not going to get into what does or doesn't happen there, but we can see the point that I'm trying to make, which is everything goes around and around and around and around in a circle. Anybody who has ever heard of Joseph Campbell, he's a fantastic author. And he has spent a lot of time, well, he's passed over now. And he has spent, when he was alive, his sort of claim to fame, if you will, and that's a really bad way of putting it. But what he was known for was looking at all of the different myths or human stories, and discovering that within each human story or each human's journey, there are steps or stages. And he put those stages into a circle because there is a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. And at the end, you return back to the beginning for a new beginning and a middle and an end. And each and every one of those cycles or circles or journeys is here to evolve us. So he calls it the hero's journey. And basically he says that there are 12 stages in the hero's journey. Act one is you leave the ordinary world to move into act two, which is the special world. And then act three is you come back to the ordinary world with all of your lessons or all of your treasure or all of your findings, whatnot. And then it goes and repeats and repeats and repeats. He basically says, if you look at any of the really great stories or any of the really great myths, that they all follow this 12 stages of, he called the hero's journey. You've got the person living in an ordinary world, and then there's a call to adventure that comes, and oftentimes there is a refusal of the call until step four, you meet the mentor, and then step five is you cross the threshold, and then six is tests and allies and obstacles. And then stage seven is you have to approach the inmost cave. You have to go inside and square yourself away with your own demons. Number eight, there's a huge ordeal where you have to emerge. And then stage nine is you are rewarded. And then stage 10 is you take the road back home. And then 11 is the climax where the hero must have his final and most dangerous encounter. And then 12 is you return with the elixir. And this goes round and round and round and round. Anybody who has not read The Hero's Journey, I highly recommend it, or any works from Joseph Campbell. The guy is just incredible. Incredible. The way he saw the world was really something. But at the end of the day, our Earth will make its annual trip around the sun. And as the Earth makes that annual trip around the sun, it will experience, as a result of that trip around the sun and how the Earth is on its axis and which way the sun is pointing, it will experience all of those seasons as a result of that trip around the sun. And so at the end of that trip around the sun, we find ourselves a year older. And you go, you know, There seems to be a correlation between every single thing on this planet, in this world. We are all on our way to somewhere new. We are all taking our own hero's journey. We are all in a different season of our life. So if we can look at that as being the normal, the natural progression of everything, would we allow ourselves to resist change less? Because that's essentially what we're talking about. Change is going to happen. Change is just going to happen. Maybe it's our resistance to change that we can influence. So let's take an example here. If everything is supposed to be cyclical, meaning it has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. If everything is supposed to be cyclical, then every encounter has a beginning, a middle, and an end. But what we are never sure about is, as we are entering that new cycle, is this going to be a 5-minute relationship, a 5-year relationship, a 50-year relationship? We don't necessarily know. So I always like to give this example. So when I remember back 16 years ago when I was single, 16, I guess it was 16, 17 years ago when I was single, and up until that point, I remember having very clear ideas about what a relationship should look like. And I just wanted to find, you know, that one that was, he was going to fill this, and he was going to fill that, and he was going to be responsible for this. And I had expectations of that, and this, and that, and the other. And I had all of these very structured ideas of what that needed to look like until I realized that that was really getting in my way a lot, like everywhere. So I took like a year and a half sabbatical and I just said, nope, no dating, because I need to rearrange not only me, I need to rearrange my whole thinking about just about everything. And I couldn't do that if I couldn't be true and honest to that season in my life, that year and a half in my life that I needed to emerge and like have a full cycle around the sun to say, I need to relook at the way that I see everything in life. So, going back to the story, if we were to pull up to a gas station back in the day before we had cell phones and Siri and Maps and Google, we used to have to ask for directions. If we didn't have a map, it was not uncommon at all to pull up to a gas station and ask a local or ask the gas station attendant. That was back in the day when you had gas station attendants. How do I get to the convention center from here? Okay. And if I was fortunate, the gas station attendant would be able to tell me, yes, you make a left and a right and a left and you'll be there in 10 minutes and this is what you do. And I would say, thank you very much. And there was no part in me that felt obligated or like I needed to stretch out the relationship past the point of it serving its purpose and ask him out. Like there was no part of me that said, oh, you did me a favor, so let's stretch this relationship out even longer. And would you like to go out to dinner? Especially if I wasn't feeling it. Especially if there was no chemistry. Especially if I was, you know, hey, of course there's those moments where you stop in and you ask for directions and there's a spark and you go, hey, this feels kind of cool or this feels kind of different. Maybe we should hook up for coffee later. You know those moments, but they're not automatically implied that just because you got really good directions that you should take it to the next level. The idea being that relationship was always supposed to be 2 minutes and it served its purpose. It had its spring, summer, autumn, and winter in a 2-minute period. It had served its purpose. It went full circle. You got what you needed. Thank you very much. Here's a $5 tip for the directions. Have a great day. Sometimes the cycle of a relationship is 5 minutes. It went full circle, everybody got what they needed, and it's done. But the trick is, for a lot of people, we tend to stretch and want to hold on to things or milk things for longer than is good for all parties involved. So, let me give you another for instance. Let's say that You meet somebody at a party. We're gonna stay on the relationship route here for a second. Let's say that you meet somebody at a party and you feel a connection. So you start talking, and all the chemistry goes in all the right places to the point where having a first date outside the party is absolutely sounds like a great idea for both. And then one date turns into two date turns into three, and then one of two things can happen. One person might find themselves wanting to already put plans and expectations very early on in the relationship because that's all they really, really want. And if that's what both people want, then that will be a natural cycle that the two will journey around together on the same page, having a wonderful time. But sometimes one person has expectations and the other person wants to take it slow. And so it's hard to get on the same page. But what's interesting is if we could all look at every single situation as having its own cycle, its own set of seasons, there for a very specific purpose, either in teaching us something, allowing us to experience something, learning something new, growing a strength, or creating a skill that was necessary. If we could all say, look, it is very important for us to honor the natural seasons of this relationship or the natural seasons of this job. Know when you are peak summer moments, peak summer years, peak summer days. And notice what happens as you start to drift into the fall or the winter. And for some relationships, there's a brand new spring ready to arise, a brand new trip around the moon that both of you are willing to take. Maybe you went through a huge change. The two of you went through a huge change together, and you can't possibly be the same people on this next little cycle around the sun as you were the first time around. And maybe you take many, many trips together as new people all the time, and you're learning and growing and they're learning and growing. And next thing you know, as a relationship, you have had several springs, summers, autumns, and winters together. And that's all great as long as everybody is growing and changing and on the same page. A lot of times what will happen is we will hold on in winter. We will hold on to a job that just needs to go. It is dead and on the vine. We are learning nothing. We are growing nothing. We are bored to death. It has shifted in a way that just makes our skin crawl. And it's either time for change within the job. It's either time for change in our perspective or our perception around the job. Or it's time for us to just look at or look for something new. And we all know what it feels like. We all know what it feels like to be in the summer of a job versus the winter of a job. But if we can all accept that everything has a season, jobs have a season, relationships have a season. Obviously, we know that to be the case. I don't look outside at the leaves starting to change and go, oh, why couldn't you be summer for another year? No, I'm enjoying watching the seasons change. I'm enjoying watching the leaves turn orange and begin to fall to the ground. Embrace the change and all of the new things that change brings with it. So I guess this is a little public service announcement in general. This podcast is here with the intention of having us all understand that change is never going to stop. It is absolutely not designed that way. We feel, and if we were to all be honest with ourselves, I enjoy all of the seasons changing. I enjoy moving from summer into fall. I enjoy moving from fall into winter and then all the way back around again. It is exciting to me. So if we can have the same feelings and the same thoughts and the same knowings that if every day I am literally in the middle of a cycle of change, whether the moon is waxing or waning, whether the seasons are moving around in a circle, everything is moving around in a circle around me. I've got friends who are on their own hero's journey. And maybe because where they are on their own hero's journey doesn't really correlate to where I am on my own hero's journey, that we aren't really lining up a whole bunch. And that doesn't make it a bad thing. It just means that they're on step 8 of their own hero's journey with their own stuff going on, and I'm on step 2 of a brand new circle of a new hero's journey for me, and for whatever reason, we're just not lining up right now. It doesn't mean that I need to write her off or him off. It doesn't mean that they're wrong and I'm right, or we've lost a friendship, or, oh, that relationship has served its purpose. It doesn't have to be that final. It just means that if everyone is on a cycle, maybe those cycles line up and maybe they don't. And it doesn't mean that you have to take it personally or that it's anything about you. It just means that they're on their journey and I'm on mine. And maybe one day in a Venn diagram somewhere, we'll meet in the middle again. Great. And when we do, we'll have lots to share. But if we can look and see, okay, when winds of change come, instead of slamming on the brakes, right, instead of pulling the whole Fred Flintstone and digging my heels into the ground to try to stop the car, brake, instead of doing that, what if we just say, I just have to trust that I'm on a new hero's journey, and I'm going to learn a whole bunch along the way, and I'm going to learn things about myself along the way, and yes, I'm going to be scared because most new, fresh journeys are, but that's okay. I can be scared. I can find courage through that. And I'm going to bump into new people, and I'm going to run into maybe some old people at some very key points. I'm just going to trust that it's all cool. But at the end of the day, what are we so afraid of anyway? Everything's changing. Facebook is, I guarantee you, however it looks today, it will change again. Who knows? For all we know, it's very possible that Facebook might have its own spring, summer, autumn, winter. We all do. What is Facebook going to look like 5 years from now? Probably pretty unrecognizable because everything is shifting. Everything is changing and everything is evolving, including us. So the PSA announcement, the public service announcement is, be witnesses to the changes that are happening in your own life and just trust and know if you're feeling scared, it is nothing more than the creature of habit that lives inside of you that just wants things to look similar and they just want things to be predictable and a set of structured things that you can rely on and depend on because they make you feel safe. Well, that's fine, except that it's kind of an illusion. So do the best that you can to roll with the changes as much as you can. And one thing that you might find helps you to do that is just to say, it actually feels weird to be stagnant. In nature, stagnation is unhealthy. In nature, where do the mosquitoes, form? The mosquitoes form around a stagnant pond. You're not going to find mosquitoes in a flowing stream. Things that are still and not moving, those are the things that usually collect dust, right? A rolling stone gathers no moss. So if you find yourself in the middle of big change, maybe give yourself a little pep talk and say, yes, but health and momentum and fun things and goodness always is around momentum. It's always around the rushing stream. It's always around the rolling stone. It's always around the things that are moving. So ask yourself in those scary moments, I know I want to stand still, but do I really? I don't think I do. So if change equals momentum, I guess that's where we're going. Have that little pep talk with yourself, and maybe you will find yourself moving through those scary moments of change a little bit more easily and with a little bit more confidence, knowing that momentum is where you want to be. You want to be in the flow. You don't want to be stuck in the mud, for sure. All right, everyone. So my intention with this whole podcast was to help you maybe look at change with a little bit more of embracing open arms and allow yourself to go with the flow. It's the way it goes. Everything flows, everything moves. Hop in the river and go downstream, friends. All right, everyone. So I would like to thank you for tuning into another episode of The Zen Room, and I look forward to having future conversations. But for now, may the force be with you and have a wonderful day, everyone.